Jay Shadler has been an Emmy-winning correspondent with ABC News for 31 years. I worked with him at WMUB in Oxford in the late 70s when he was news director there. Now he not only travels around the world as a reporter, but he's also an artist and photographer with a studio in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I recently caught up with him by phone in New York City. Well, talk about some of your favorite locations and stories that you've done.
Internationally, I have to say that India has always been appealing to me on so many different levels. I find the people are fascinating and they're bright, they're intelligent, but the landscape there is just so tremendous. I mean, as someone who also dabbles in art, there's no place on earth that has the same kind of light quality that India has. I've had a number of stories, probably four or five that I've done out of India. I've tracked the illegal tiger trade across central India up through Hardwar, which is up near Nepal, and then they bring it over the border into China and Taiwan, where they take the tiger bones and use them for medicines of various sorts. India clearly is one of my favorite spots, and I love nothing more than being in a kind of a cozy little alley in France or anywhere in Europe, practically. I like the old streets and the old country feel. So all of my trips overseas have sort of been enlightening in that regard. But having seen so much, I still am really most struck by the stories that I did hitchhiking across America. It changed me in so many different ways. It changed me personally because it made me so much less afraid of the world and so much more optimistic about America than I was when I started the trips. And then professionally it changed me because this was back, the first time I started hitchhiking was when I was older. It was when I was 45 years old. I started on a lark. I heard my favorite producer and I said, let's try this. And I stuck out my thumb and headed out across America. And then he traveled in a van with a crew that shot like the big landscapes of, if I was traveling through New England, they'd shoot the trees and the mountains and the hills and the rivers, get into a town and they'd shoot that so we could match up some of the locations to the people who picked me up. I came away from that experience with such a renewed sense of faith in everyday people and an absolutely powerful confidence that there is a tremendous, important, powerful story in everyone's life. Everyone who picked me up, car after car after car, was carrying either a shadow or a celebration of some sort. And I just was struck with so much time is spent at the networks booking celebrities, booking important stories, when really equally powerful and in many cases more profound stories are to be found right in the car next to you. So being a passenger across America for so long, I ended up hitchhiking about 20,000 miles over 2 years, and it just really fundamentally changed the way I work.
Did you take a camera with you?
Yeah, I had, again, this was like 1995, and small cameras were just coming into use, and reality TV had not emerged. And this was really right on the cusp of that. And so I would go out with two little cameras. One was I had in the backpack, and the other I would pull out and put on a suction cup on the windshield of the car. And I would immediately, as soon as I opened the door, I'd say, hi, I'm Jay. I'm hitchhiking across America. In fact, I came right through Cincinnati. And I'd tell them what I was doing. And I'd figured when I began, I thought, well, maybe 10% of the people would want to talk, would allow me to film them. And as it turned out, it was like 99% of the people agreed. Now, you're selecting on an interesting audience by virtue of the fact that whoever picks you up, they're a little bit of a risk taker to begin with. But having said that, the kind of diverse collection of people who pick me up almost fights that notion, because I would be picked up, and I was, by everybody from the truck driver to the grandmother to the newly wedded mother, all kinds of things. And people that you wouldn't expect, the single mom with two kids in the back seat, and she still picks me up. And you say, why did you do that? I mean, in this world, in this day and age, why did you do that? And she'd say, there was just something about the way you looked that I had confidence that it was going to be okay. So there's this really interesting little fission that takes place. There's this moment of contact between the hitchhiker and the driver. When their eyes meet, or that there's a sense that both are seeing each other and you make a quick judgment. Because I was doing the same thing, of course. You know, I'm always making a judgment on whether or not I want to get into that car. But as I did it, I realized that I wanted to get into every car. A couple times, I wanted to get out of the car, but not often. I was hitchhiking through Nashville. These three guys picked me up, and we were all stuffed in the front of their pickup truck. Between the three of them, they had about four teeth, but it didn't matter to me. It was a ride, and we were having a great conversation. And I included them in the piece, just a little pop from their interview. But the next day after the original stories aired, I get a call from the sheriff's office in, I think it's Davis County. And he said, "Do you have any idea where those guys are?" I said, "No, I have no idea, because we're looking for them. They're all wanted down here for film." At any rate, the stories from the road have always been close to my heart. And it has remained for me, as I've gotten older, more and more wanted to do stories that, without being Pollyannish, I do want to do stories that, in the end, leave people lifted in some sense. I do every kind of story, and I like the broad spectrum. So I'm still occasionally do a crime story and that sort of thing. But as a general rule, certainly the ones that I choose to do, which are about 70%, are things that I find not only of interest, but I think can, in the end, help people.
You're also a very talented photographer, and I noticed on your website that you do a lot of landscapes, a lot of animals. Not many people, actually. Has your travels around the world made you appreciate landscape and animals more?
Well, there's two things at work. I mean, I absolutely love animals. I mean, I'd rather be in the company of my wife and some animals than most anywhere else. And the landscapes are just inherent in, I guess, the work, because I've seen and I'm in so many different kinds, and I always love that variety. The other reason is people are the hardest thing in the world to shoot. I mean, you've got to spend some good time to learn how to truly capture people on camera. So in some respects, it's just a matter of simplicity. I mean, you control landscape shots and you can't control people. I always come away from a shoot with people in it that I have learned something. And it almost always has to do with capturing the moment, of course. I didn't really start picking up a still camera until 1994, but as far back as 75 or so, 76, my first television job was actually in 1977 or 8. That's when I left WMUB in Oxford and got a job up in Grand Rapids, Michigan as a weekend anchor and a weekday reporter. You remember that, Lee?
Oh, yeah. Remember when Ed Bradley came to the station?
Oh, I have a picture of Ed and I.
Coming down the steps outside the station.
Exactly.
And I remember after he left, we were talking and you said, "I can do that." And you did.
He impressed me so much. And I loved the idea of being this roving correspondent. I loved the idea of being a temporary student of many different things. So that was intriguing to me. And then telling stories. One of my favorite memories from other, I had so many great memories at MUB. I was there probably, like a year and a half or something, but I loved the kids. And WMUB had a little bit of a news operation when I came there. And I put on a little bit of news in the morning, and I think they had some 15-minute program, the Noon Report or something. But we got all of these kids involved, all of these young freshmen, sophomores, and juniors who were suddenly getting very interested in television news. And I didn't know a thing about television news. I hadn't been in television, but I understood news. And we started this program, and kids just flocked to it. We had so many kids in the basement of that radio station in Oxford that we hardly knew what to do with them in the morning.
Yeah, I remember that you went in and you completely redid all the files. Back then it was before computers, so you were doing all kinds of clippings. And what I was amazed by was the way that you taught folks how to write for radio.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. You were a wonderful teacher.
Oh, I appreciate that, because I still think radio is probably the best possible training ground for anybody who even those who want to get into television. Because, first of all, in radio, you're writing a lot, which is one of the keys. The worst place in the world to learn how to be a journalist is at the network, because I see young people come in here with internships, or for one reason or another, they've come in at a very entry-level position at the network news operations. And I don't think that it's a useful thing for them to do, because the stakes are so high, or generally, at the network, it's very difficult to fail. And you need to do things every day, and you need to fail, and so you can correct yourself, learn how to improve. But it's difficult to learn how to improve under that microscope of the networks. So I always felt like radio is a great place, newspapers are a great place. And the other thing is, radio sound has always intrigued me more than the imagery in television. Now, it's funny because I'm a visual artist as well, but when I write stories for television, I'm always writing really for sound. It's remarkable that even at this late date, in this modern era, that if you turn off the picture, you can still understand the story. But the sound is critical. And writing into and out of a piece of sound, the craft. And one of the sad things that I have seen in business over the last 25 years or so, 30 years, is that the craft of writing is simply not as honored as it once was. It's a matter of a lot of things, but it's partly due to the fact of live shots and the absolute demand that you provide material, stories, for all these different platforms. At the networks now, a correspondent or an anchor is expected to not only do the story for Good Morning America and Nightline and World News Tonight, but then they've got to do something for Facebook and the Twitter account and this vast array of digital mouths that need to be fed. It takes up an incredible amount of time. So more and more, the older gift and craft of writing is bypassed for almost a factory cookie cutter sort of approach to writing.
Thanks for talking with us.
Well, thank you for talking to me. And it's so good to hear your voice.
That was Jay Shadler, former news director at WMUB in Oxford and currently a correspondent with ABC News. You'll find a link to the rest of our conversation about his New Hampshire studio at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Lee Hay.